The Menasha Police Department recently concluded a sexting investigation where six girls could be charged with juvenile disorderly conduct for allegedly texting naked pictures of themselves, and four boys could face juvenile child pornography charges for sharing those photos with others. And police, school officials, and psychologists say this case at the Menasha High School is not an isolated incident. It's happening in other Wisconsin communities, too. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May 1st. So who knew? Why is teen sexting happening? What are the long-term consequences? Can it be prevented? Is this just a rite of passage now in the age of the smartphone and Snapchat? And why is it mainly girls, it seems, according to the public cases anyway, who are sending the photos and boys who are distributing them? 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a reaction to this, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you back on the program. So we've heard about famous politicians and football players, adult men, sending sexually suggestive photos via text to women, one time accidentally getting on Twitter. But who knew teenagers were doing this? Did I just fall off the turnip truck?
Well, it's actually becoming really common among teenagers. Some recent studies are saying that about 1 in 5 teenagers are sending sexually explicit messages or images via text message. So it's become something that's really common among teenagers and young adults.
And do we know why?
Well, if you ask the teenagers, they give you a variety of different answers. Some of them say it's just for fun, it's not a big deal. Some say that they want to be sexy, they want to be provocative. But I think that the answer can be a little bit more complicated than that. We live in a culture where, a very sexualized culture, so we see images constantly where women are, in particular, are posed in very provocative ways, often with not a lot of clothing on. And when this becomes the bar for how to be attractive and how to become valuable, it's something that we're going to see teenagers replicating more often. Mm. So often these images that are being sent are imitations of what they're seeing in public culture.
Well, James writes on Facebook, I guess you can also lump all of this in with the whole phase when teens think that they are invincible. The same reasons you see teens drink to excess, do stupid stunts, drive like maniacs, etc. We all went through it. Can we lump this into that phase, or is it more than that?
Well, I think in one respect, he's absolutely right. I think just about every teenager goes through a phase like this. But the problem is that the consequences are getting to be a lot larger. So if an image is sent digitally, it doesn't go away. It's going to be there forever. And so you can't drive, if a child drives recklessly and they don't get into a car accident, they survive, everybody else survives, then it's something that perhaps can go away. This can't. And with facial recognition technology, it's going to be easier and easier to identify these children who are in the images, and so it's something that can stick with them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, is this this also a consequence of the smartphone and social media?
Absolutely. Right now, the average age of getting a cell phone is 13, and so kids are getting this technology. They're using the technology on a daily basis, And so these reckless behaviors are, when they're combined with technology, social media, the impacts of it, the harm that it can cause, becomes a lot larger.
Yeah, and correct me with my social media terminology here. I was also told by a school district official who is dealing with one of these cases now that the girls that are doing this are using a media, social media called, is it Snapchat, where it's supposed to go away immediately. The image is supposed to only be temporary.
Right. Well, there are attempts to get technology that can make images temporary, that can try to erase them. The problem is that technology moves quickly, and so even if you attempt to make sure that it doesn't last, there are a variety of ways to make it last. And in fact, even though most teenagers are saying that they're just sending images to a boyfriend or girlfriend, just about half of teenagers say that they regularly forward those images to other people and they get shown to other people. And there have been some very well-publicized incidents of suicide after an image like this ends up being distributed among a child's school.
Yep, that's what this school district official is dealing with, is the consequences of a girl who sent an image of herself to a prospective boyfriend, and somehow that got intercepted, or the boyfriend wasn't such a nice boyfriend, and shared it with others, and now she's humiliated.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's not an unusual situation. It's become very common. And something that is interesting is that the studies vary pretty considerably on whether these are boys or girls sending the messages. Mm-hmm. But some say it's about even. Another study says that it's about 65% of the messages are from girls, leaving a much smaller percentage coming from boys. But what I find really interesting is when you ask teens why they send the messages, boys are much more likely to say that they thought it was funny, it was a joke, but girls are much more likely to say they wanted somebody to like them, they thought they were pressured to send it. And so girls are sending messages for different reasons than boys, it seems.
We will talk more about why teens are sexting and what it means as we go along. We are talking with Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the Department of Communication at UW-Milwaukee. And we do welcome your input, your questions. Did you know this was going on? How would you handle it if you discovered your teen was sexting? How do we prevent this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Listeners provide the single largest piece of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget, and that's why your gift right now is so important.
Well, good morning, Joy. And guess what? We've got a great offer for listeners today. To encourage your gift today, your pledge of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad Air. How cool
nice.
Is that?
Nice.
So make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And our goal this hour is 40 pledges. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 gets us one step closer to meeting the goal and one step closer to funding the programs that you count on.
You share every weekday morning with the Joy Cardine Show. Maybe your alarm clock wakes you up to it, or you share breakfast in the kitchen with us or drive to work with us. Your morning wouldn't be the same without Joy and her guests. Please pledge your support for these morning conversations at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Making a pledge is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
at 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and good morning. I take it you're listening now since you turned on the radio at 6. You can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your support of WPR during this spring pledge drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, everyone who pledges today will be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. So enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, make a pledge right now and be entered automatically at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You care about state, regional, and world events. That's why you're listening to this program. At WPR and on The Joy Cardine Show, you get all that information and also commentary and suggested reading.
You get news and information and programs that clear your mind and entertain you. Support all of the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio, all of the programs that you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's another way to think about it. You might spend a few dollars a month on, say, a TV streaming or movie subscription. Well, think about WPR that way. You tune in every day for information and entertainment.
If you've never given before, start with a gift of $5 a month. That's comparable to Netflix. I think that's even a better deal than
about $3.
Yes. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We want you to give the amount that's right for you. And, you know, if you need some help figuring that out, consider this. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. If you paid a dime, 10 cents, for each one of those, that would work out to about $10 a month. So don't delay. Make that contribution now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Looking for 40 pledges this hour. Give now. Help us reach that goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you just tuned in, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you will be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. Sustainers, we've got you covered. You're automatically entered.
And John, an iPad Air is a new, fancy, very lightweight iPad. Is that right?
I thought it ran on air.
Okay, that's good too.
No, yeah, it's slim. It's I've seen them. I don't own one.
It's light as air.
It's light as air, and it's quick as lightning, and yeah. It's the slickest thing you can have. Be the first one on your block to get one.
And you can be entered into that drawing by making your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about sexting and why teenagers send sexually suggestive photos via phone or email or post on a social media site. And it turns out that at least some surveys show that teen girls are doing this more than teen boys. And there have been a number of cases in Wisconsin recently, most recently perhaps in Menasha, where 6 girls could be charged with juvenile disorderly conduct for allegedly texting naked pictures of themselves, and four boys could face juvenile child pornography charges for sharing the photos with others. What do you think about this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Leah on Twitter says, girls with low self-esteem do this. Our society tells girls that their value rests in their sexuality and their appearance. Leslie Harris, you think that's a part of the problem too?
Absolutely. When we constantly are living in a world where we're barraged with, we get these images constantly from advertising and other forms of media that suggest that girls need to look a particular way to be valued, and this is one way that girls behave when they're told that this is what's important. The challenge, I think, is how do parents and educators, how do you deal with it to get children to see that this actually matters?
Yeah.
One survey that was fairly recent said that about half of the kids, the teenager surveyed, said that this is just a common thing and parents and adults are overreacting.
Well, are we overreacting?
Well, I don't think so. Some teenagers think that it doesn't matter because everybody else is doing it, or it's a safe alternative to actually engaging in sexual activity. But I think both of those things aren't true, in part because the image lasts. It's not going to go away, and it can stick with these teenagers for the rest of their lives. But also, some of the teenagers surveyed said that it was a prelude to sexual activity, and especially when we're living in a culture where sexual assault among teenagers and young adults is a pretty big problem, with teenagers not even understanding exactly what consent means and what sexual assault means, I think we need to be really careful about the types of messages that teenagers are sending.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about how or if this can be discouraged in as we go along, but we have some callers. Rich in Genoa City is with us. Hi, Rich. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a school teacher, and I hear stuff and see stuff, and I'm also an old guy, so when I say stuff, it tends to be, you're just an old guy, what do you know? But I know way more than they think I know in terms of the technology, but one question I have is, does it matter if the pictures are being transferred on smartphones connected to the internet, or I'll call them dumb phones for want of a better term, phones where you can send pictures through the phone, you know, your cell phone, but they're not internet-based? In terms of facial recognition and getting into the stream where someone could use facial recognition software?
Well, you know more about the technology than I do. Do you know, Leslie, about that?
Well, it actually doesn't matter. There's a variety of ways that if you can send the message, so if the message is being sent via wireless or via a Wi-Fi network, it doesn't really matter. The person in it can still be identified. It can still have permanence. And one of the big dangers for the teenagers is when they send it to somebody thinking that it's private, and that person forwards it, shows it, and sends it to other people. And the important thing to remember is that if the image is of somebody underage, this could be a felony. It's a crime. It's child pornography. And even forwarding that image, possessing the image, makes somebody guilty of a crime. So they need to be very careful, or the repercussions could be criminal.
Yeah. So would it discourage girls from sending, and I guess that's why they got disorderly conduct for just sending what they might have thought was a private photo, and the boys in this Menasha case are facing juvenile child pornography charges for distributing the photos. If more knew that that was a crime, would that discourage, do you think?
I would hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that we need to explain to teenagers that this is treated very seriously. And there are, in some instances, law enforcement doesn't have a lot of flexibility. The child pornography laws are pretty clear. And somebody who is forwarding the message is just as guilty of disseminating that image as the initial person who sent it. So it's something that's treated very seriously by law enforcement officers, and it could even ultimately lead to somebody being placed on the sex offender registry. And so it can be treated very seriously, depending on the age of the people involved.
Our guest is Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the Department of Communication at UW-Milwaukee. We're talking about what appears to be a growing trend, teen sexting. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll continue our discussion on teen sexting in just a few minutes. But first, I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, and we are asking for your support of the programs you enjoy. It's your support that makes Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
Well, and when you pledge today, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. Now is a great time to support programs like The Joy Cardine Show at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 38 pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program and also the Kathleen Dunn Show, Garden Talk, Prairie Home Companion, and so many others you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's face it, we're all paying our bills online these days, or most of us are. I bet you don't miss all the extra paper and envelopes floating around the house. I know I sure don't. Not to mention what you save on postage and checks.
Yeah,
wow.
It's really, I can't stand writing them out anymore. You can support Wisconsin Public Radio in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount that works for you. Maybe it's $10 or $20 a month, and you set it up to come out of your credit card or bank account.
It'll roll over each year, so your support at WPR will always be current. It's easy to do. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're right, they do, and we thank you for that.
But wait, there's more. Contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I've listened all over the country, you know, traveling, you try to find the public stations. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. And it is, for many people, I think it's, they can't get out, but they can find out what's going on by turning on the radio. I'm John Ink from Wausau, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for education information. It comes to you. You don't have to go hunt it down.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your support because you get an education listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of any amount helps fund the programs that you enjoy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, it's like getting a university-level education, only there's no exams and no tuition.
I like that the best.
That's great. Well, think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Just give us a few minutes of your time and your donation in any amount, and in return, you'll get lots of great programs.
Donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and in just a few minutes, you'll have made a wise investment, one that pays dividends every day.
And, you know, you get to choose how much you give to WPR, and contributions of any amount make a difference. Here are some suggested amounts. How about the amount you pay per month for Netflix or Hulu Plus or Amazon Prime or even cable?
How about coffee? that would be really expensive.
Wow, I don't know, coffee. Now we're getting serious.
Well, coffee, like WPR, is something you probably look forward to every day. Pledge now. You pick the amount. Your pledge really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
37 pledges, 19 minutes to get them. Do the math. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you will be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air. Sustainers, you are automatically entered.
And because it's never just one thing here at Wisconsin Public Radio, you can also ask for this year's artist mug, illustrated by Renee Grafe from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. It's just cuter than, well, something that's really cute. And you can have it for a pledge of $150. That's just $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When did a button become cute anyway, John?
I think that may be one of the few things that's before my time.
Well, you still have time to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, John. Talk to you later. Mm. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the Department of Communication at UW-Milwaukee, about sexting among teens. Our interest prompted in part by some Wisconsin communities who are dealing with this issue right now. The Menasha Police Department recently concluded an investigation where girls were sending naked pictures of themselves to boys, and some of the boys were distributing or sharing the photos with others. The police, school officials, psychologists, and others say this case at the Menasha High School this spring is not an isolated incident, that it's happening in other Wisconsin communities too, and maybe happening more than parents realize. So we thought we would take a look at this this trend, find out why teens are sexting, and whether we can prevent or discourage teens from sexting. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, Leslie, we had a caller who just dropped off who wanted to say this has been going on for years, girls send these pictures to boys and then the boys gloat. Do we know when this started or how long this has been going on?
It's received a lot of national attention in the last, I'd say, about 10 years or so. It's as the technology develops, the ability for teenagers to disseminate these messages increases. And I imagine, you know, technology is going to continue to develop. It's going to become easier and easier to send information to cell phones, and more teens are going to continue to have cell phones and other forms of technology. So one thing that we probably need to be thinking about is that the ability to send moving images, video clips, is going to increasingly become easier and more accessible, and that introduces new complications to this. So, yeah, it's been going on for quite a while, but the situation is becoming worse as teens have more access to technology, and technology continues to improve.
Yeah. And while we talked in our first half hour that maybe boys and girls sexed evenly, in some surveys, though, showed that 65% of girls were doing it more than boys, I guess. You had mentioned that girls do it, they say they did it because they wanted to be liked or they felt pressure to do it. Do we know why boys decide to share these photos with others when supposedly this might be a girl who likes him?
Yeah, the surveys that are being done are a little bit unclear on this breakdown. Some of them are suggesting that a lot of boys are doing it as jokes. So they think it's they think it's funny. They'll get a reaction, and so they might even put something in a public place, that like a school computer, for people to see as a joke. It's more often when it's disseminated and resulting in significant harassment. It's very often the girls who are harassed and are hurt a little bit more by this different type of harassment. But it's important to take the boys, the way that they treat their bodies, the way that they respect themselves and other people, really seriously as well.
Yeah. Victor in Milwaukee couldn't hold on, but he said that this technology and behavior also allows greater access for sexual predators and human trafficking. What do we know about that?
Absolutely. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children takes sexting very seriously. And they have been working to try to get teenagers to understand that it's serious, that they can be subject to child pornography charges, that they can get in very serious trouble. But they also tell parents and teenagers that if they receive a message, you shouldn't delete it. You need to report it to teachers, parents, school counselors immediately, because it can be associated with human trafficking or other really serious situations, not just a teenager playing a joke or trying to send a single image to a boyfriend.
Yeah, well, that's good advice. But what other advice might you have? Do the experts have first for parents who? Might want to make sure their teen boy or girl is not participating in this.
Well, it's really important to talk to your kids about this. Teenagers know that this is happening. They think that it's really common, and most teenagers seem to think that it really isn't a big deal. So parents need to talk to their kids at a fairly young age, especially if they're going to have a cell phone. So if a teenager has a cell phone at 13, we need to talk to that child at that age to make sure they understand that this is really serious. Parents can also place limits on electronic communication. So on some phones and with some services, you can disable the ability to send images. So a teen can still send a text, but they can't send an image. And it's also really important to keep track of the contacts that teenagers have online. So not just the contacts in their phone, but who's on their IM, instant messaging accounts. What different types of social media are the teens using, and what are they using that social media for? So really continuing to pay attention to how they're using these devices and talk to them on a regular basis, and make sure they understand the consequences.
Yeah, and should schools be involved, since so often this, I guess they're spread around high schools?
Well, a lot of schools are placing restrictions on what types of technology can be brought in the school or be brought in the classroom. And right now, younger kids in a lot of schools are being taught about internet safety and about sending personal information and also private and sexually explicit images. And they're being taught this at a younger age because it's part of their reality that they're growing up in. Some of the teenagers now may not have gotten that information, because adults always seem to be a little bit behind on what's going on. So we need to continue teaching kids at home, and I think to some extent at schools too, about how to be safe.
Yeah. Do you think that teens can be educated about the dangers, the pitfalls of sexting, and that we can put a dent in this trend?
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to be able to stop it completely, but if teens really understand that, even if they think that the technology is private, even if they think that they're using a social networking site or a particular app that will prevent their image from being disseminated and saved, it still will never be private, and it'll always be there. And so if they understand that, they're more likely, I think, to not send those messages. But we also need to teach a culture of respect, too, that it's not a joke to send the messages and to forward the messages, that respecting somebody means that you don't do this. So if you really teach teens about the repercussions and also that they could face criminal charges, I think that it might reduce some. At least I hope so.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the Department of Communication at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson joins me once again to encourage you to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listeners provide the single largest piece of WPR's budget, and that's why it's so important that you give a gift right now.
Well, if you needed a little extra incentive to make your gift today, here's one. Your pledge of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad Air. So, make that gift now and get entered in our drawing, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
35 pledges needed before the top of the hour. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs that you count on all year long. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, our conversation that we've had this hour about the problem of teens sending naked pictures of themselves to each other, it's an example of the kind of important issues that we discuss on a daily basis on the Joy Cardine program. It's conversations that we have on this show all the time.
Now, take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, here's something else to consider this morning while you're having your morning coffee. Consider making a donation of $1,200. Listener support is crucial to WPR's future. We talk about that all the time. If you'd like to do more than you've done before, consider making that leadership contribution of $100 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Basically, I just believe with public radio, it's almost a duty to become a member because the programming is why you listen. All you have to do is travel someplace that doesn't have public radio for a week or so and realize how much you miss it and you want to come back. I've been known to turn it on my computer when we're traveling and there's not a decent public radio station anywhere near us. I just really enjoy it. I enjoy the programming. I learn things. That makes a big difference to me. And I get a little bit of everything. One of the nicest things about WPR is that it is statewide. We try to hit a different state park every week during the spring and summer. And so we're traveling around the state. It's just wonderful to be able to continue listening pretty much wherever we go in the state. That's something that is very rare. That has been just sort of icing for us, is to know that we can continue listening wherever we go in Wisconsin. I'm Michelle from Madison, Wisconsin. I hope you'll join me in being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you, Michelle. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this spring membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and count on your contribution.
And giving just takes a couple of minutes, literally. Tell us your name, give us some contact information, preferably yours, how much you'd want to give, and how you'd like to pay it. And you know what? You can give it in one lump sum, or even better, become a monthly sustainer. No matter how you choose to give or how much, use the next few minutes to support the station you count on, the one you're listening to right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, we heard from a contributor who said, we wouldn't get out of bed if Wisconsin Public Radio didn't come on to remind us to start the day. Well, happy to help you start your day.
Now, that's hardcore listening.
Right.
Boy, that's impressive. Well, another donor said, you make my day. Day after day, smarter, wiser, and better informed. Again, we're here to help out. We're more than happy to do it.
Because you recognize yourself and what your fellow listeners say when they donate, Take action right now. Give a gift of your own. If you wake up to this program just about every day, if you listen as you're driving to work, if your day wouldn't be the same without the news and information and entertainment that you receive on Wisconsin Public Radio, now is the time to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We say it all the time, but it bears repeating. Help pay for the programs you depend on. 34 more pledges. We're looking for 34 more pledges in the next few minutes here. Make your donation now. Be entered in that iPad drawing, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
New members are really important to Wisconsin Public Radio. A big thank you to all the first-time donors who have pledged so far this hour.
And if you've never given before, please know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, reliable station that you depend on. You decide the amount. For example, $5 a month. Great way to start. And then give. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $5 a month. Some give $100 a month or even more.
Well, whatever the amount, here's what we do with it. We use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment going strong. So give now. Whatever amount is comfortable for you, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Charles from Wausau who pledged this hour, and he says, I am most thankful for WPR's influence on my children, who have been listening during our morning and afternoon commutes for their whole lives. Among us, WPR inspires amazing and deep conversation, but I confess to a special pride when teachers comment on how my kids are so aware of current events and how articulately they speak. Many thanks. Well, Charles,
wow.
happy to help the kids out.
We should frame that comment. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's exactly why we're here. And we need 31 more of you to be here with us this morning. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And Tracy from Oshkosh says, I enjoy the diversity of WPR. Thank you, Tracy. We do try to provide you a wide range of perspectives on a wide variety of topics, from, you know, from politics to popular culture and many more in between. Why don't you join Tracy and Charles and 50,000 other people who have become members of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association by pledging at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. John, thanks very much. We'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.